brought me here almost 20 years ago, and I didn't know anything, and Randall didn't know anything. He'd only been pastoring a month before I was a youth pastor, and I'd only been saved about 4 months. But God blessed our time together. And my last Sunday here, that boy over there in the light blue shirt took his first steps down that hallway. And that's my oldest son, Seth, who is now a college student at Southwestern Seminary. And that's his friend Matt with him as well. He's also called by God to pastoral ministry. So it's great to see these two young men here tonight. I'm so glad that God brought me to this church, you know, 20 years ago, because the preacher I am today is because of this man's influence in my life. I learned what it meant to preach by coming to this church and being a part of this church. And I truly believe that's why the Lord brought me here, was to teach me to preach. And I'm still learning, but God gave me a good start with having a mentor like Randall. And Randall is still my mentor, by the way. I still call him, ask him questions, and pick his brain on different things. And I'm so thankful that I can still do that. Well, I'd like for you to open your Bibles this evening to and Psalms 106. Now, it is an interesting passage for the topic of the glory of Christ. But as soon as Randall called me and asked me about preaching, I immediately began to pray about what God and things that went through my mind. And as a matter of fact, I gave Randall a few ideas of what might be the text. But as I began to study and the more I began to pray, God put me here. And so I have to believe that this is the word that He has for us tonight. Psalms 105 and Psalms 106. These are both lengthy psalms. And so we will be in the Word of God for the entirety of the message. That's why we're here, right? Okay. Well, I like to get us started in the Scripture as soon as we can. So let's go ahead and look there at Psalms 105. And to get us started in God's text, let's read through the first 15 verses of Psalms 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servants, children of Jacob, His chosen one. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever. The word that He commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that He made with Abraham. His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute, and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. And when they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones. Do not harm my prophets. I tell you, there's a passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, that just really grabs my attention every time I think about it. I almost preached this text tonight, but I decided that I'm going to use it as an introduction. I'm not going to read it, but it's found in Exodus chapter. Moses asked to see the glory of God. And do you remember? God said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. I'm going to allow you to see my backside. But then God said this, almost in the same breath, Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass you by. Isn't that interesting that Moses prays to see the glory of God and God describes His glory as His goodness? I'm going to cause my goodness to pass you by. Now, a couple of things I want you to remember in that text. First of all, that God described his own glory as goodness. And then I want you to remember the phrase, pass you by, because we're going to this message. But what we have here in Psalms 105 is basically a psalm that consists of five stanzas. Now, the first stanza is found in verses 1 through 6, which we just read. It talks about giving thanks to God. It talks about calling upon the name of God. It talks about proclaiming his wondrous deeds to others. But then you move into stanza 2, which is comprised of verses 7 through 11. And it's in this stanza that we find the main theme of Psalms 105. So the question is, well, what is the main theme? Well, if you look at there at your Bibles, you'll find it in verse 8. But let's read verse 7 just to understand the context. Verse 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Verse 8, here's the theme. He remembers his covenant forever. The word that he commanded for a thousand generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham. His sworn promise to Isaac. So really, the whole theme of Psalms 105 is the faithfulness of God to his covenant. And as a matter of fact, as you read through Psalms 105, you're going to find that personal pronoun, he, being used over and over and over again, talking about what God has done on behalf of his people. So we immediately conclude that God is a faithful God, and he has demonstrated his faithfulness by upholding his covenant promise, and specifically the covenant promise that he made to Abraham. As a matter of fact, that word covenant is used several times. It's used in verse 8, it's used in verse 9, and it's also used in verse 10. The third stanza of this psalm is comprised of verses 12 through 15, which we read through. And here we learn that God's covenant is not based upon man's works or any type of merit of man. The covenant of God is based solely on God's sovereignty. God in his sovereignty chose the nation of Israel. He chose Abraham for his own sovereign purpose, for his own goodness. Look at what he says in verse 12. When they were few in number and of little account and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, kingdom to kingdoms, right? There was nothing special about them. And so the third stanza, second stanza, God's faithful to his covenant. Third stanza, and he's faithful by grace. Not because of anything that you've done. Not because there's anything special about you. As a matter of fact, you are few in number. And then we come to the fourth stanza, which is verses 16 through verse 36, which is a major section, which talks about the nation of Israel's time in Exodus. And it makes its way all the way up to the life of Joseph. And what's interesting about this is it actually teaches us some things about the life of Joseph that you don't learn in the narrative or Genesis narrative. For example, look at verse 16. When he summoned a famine on the land, he broke all supply of bread. He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The rulers of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. And verse 22, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Now in this major section, this is where you find that personal pronoun he being used all the time, talking about God. For example, look at verse 16. When he summoned a famine. And again, this is not an exhaustive list of all the pronouns, but it's meant to give you a taste of what's happening here. Look at verse 17. He had sent a man ahead of them. Now look at verse 24. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them sojourners, or made them strong, stronger than their foes. Look at verse 25. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. Verse 26. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Look at verse 28. He sent darkness and made the land dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned the waters into blood and caused their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. Verse 32, he gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts through their land. Verse 33, he struck down their vines and their fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, young locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in the land. Are you picking this up? God is punishing Egypt for being cruel to his people. And then 36, he struck down all their firstborn in the land, the first fruits of all their strength. Verse 37, now notice what he does to Israel. He did that to Egypt. Look at what he does to Israel. Verse 37, then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among them or none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the dread of them had fallen upon it. Now notice what God does to his people. He spread out a cloud of covering and a fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail. He gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He even opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy promise. There it is. There's that theme again, right? For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing, and he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. And what's the, when you look at the faithfulness of God, what's the only response? Praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, praise his holy name. That last stanza, which is found in verses 37 through 45, this talks about how God faithfully brought his people out of the desert wanderings into the promised land. Now, we move through that psalm pretty fast because the major portion of which we're going to spend a little bit of time on is actually Psalms 106. What have we learned so far in Psalms 105, though? We learned that God is a God of grace who chose a people for himself. He established a covenant, and God himself upholds the covenant. He is faithful to his people. Amen. Now, in order to really understand Psalms 106, you have to realize that Psalms 105 and Psalms 106 actually should be read together. That's why I'm preaching them both. For example, we just read about the faithfulness of God. Now, if we didn't stop, let's say we read Psalms 105 all the way through to the first part of Psalms 106. So check this out. Look at what happens. Look at verse 43 of 105. Back up just for a moment. So he brought his people out with joy. His chosen ones with singing. He gave them lands of the nations, and they took possessions of the fruit of the people, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, what did we learn about the goodness of God earlier? Amen. The glory of God is passing us by in this passage of Scripture. Moses said, Lord, show me a glimpse of your glory. God said, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass by. And we just got a taste of the glory of God passing us by in his faithfulness to his covenant, to destroying the enemies of his people and upholding them and providing for them. Sadly, we have to move into Psalms 106, though. Psalms 106 talks about the unfaithfulness of God's people. Psalms 105, the faithfulness of God. Psalms 106, the unfaithfulness of God's people. We look at this psalm. And what we have here in Psalms 106 is actually a litany of sins. Sins that the nation of Israel committed against God. I'm going to do my best to highlight some of those for you. If you look there, as a matter of fact, it talks about this psalm as well can be broken down easily into different times in Israel's history. For example, you're going to see their sin while they were in Egypt. And then you're going to see their sin in the wilderness. And then you're going to see their sin in the promised land. So you're going to see, as a matter of fact, eight different types of sin in Psalms 106. Now, it's important for you to not lose sight of what we just read in Psalms 105. You can't lose sight of that when we move into Psalms 106. The psalmist just painted for us this grand picture of the faithfulness of God, His glory demonstrated in His goodness. And how does God's people respond? Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good.